Hello everyone, my name's Patrick. I'm giving it's the fourth or fifth time I've done this talk, The Great Migration, and it's how we get to a management kind of person to say yes to a Linux to migration from Windows. So it's upgrade, progress update number four. And what is, I just realized a few minutes ago that I first gave a version of this talk kind of 7 years ago at the end of Windows 7. So now it's the end of Windows 10. Hopefully we've made some progress. So yes, it's the Linux desktop again. Everyone's been talking about it. Is it the year of the Linux desktop? It's not. That's the next slide. But we've been talking about it, but every single year it gets better and better. So we've got more and more reason to talk about it. That's me. I've got 40 years in technology. I've got a company called Innovation Layer in Switzerland. I've just started, and I've got a long-standing company in Australia, in the UK, called iLayer Limited, and we do consulting for large and small businesses around the EU and UK. We've done large-scale migrations. The big one we were kind of famous for is migrating 7,500 machines and managing them over at the Allied Irish Bank over the course of 2.5 years. We did all that completely remotely with three people managing all those systems. So let's move on, because I've got something like 40 slides in 30 minutes. So. Who here has seen this presentation before? Okay, good. All right. Well, I can skip through a lot of it. Horace is the guy you need to convince. This is the guy that is a CTO, a CIO, or it just might be the accountant, or someone you need to convince. It's not necessarily the person you expect. If you're an engineer and you think you'll talk to the head of technology, but sometimes it's not that person. So. You know, he's the one who'll get fired if it all goes wrong. He doesn't need a solution. He needs a solution, not an operating system. He's not going to respond to saying, but it's cool. So, presenting Linux on the desktop. And, you know, he's looking a bit sort of, yeah, maybe, probably not with that kind of guy. But he's also got a lot of pressures. End of 10 is here. There's all sorts of political issues going on all around the world, the cost of hardware. So it's like there might be something in this whole Linux thing. So it could work. I mean, you know, he could save some money. There's all these things going on in the world, tariffs, global recession, digital sovereignty, a lot of these things he probably doesn't even understand or doesn't want to think about. You know, in the end of the day, you want him to think he can save money, because he can. And he can minimize risks to his business, because with Linux you can. But you need to put all this into a proposal. That's step number one. Get a proposal together, because you're not going to do it via a conversation. It has to be something he can take to other people and say, I think this has got legs, and we can do this. And he's not going to do it because it's cool. He's not going to do it just to put two fingers up to Microsoft. He's going to do it for very, very sound financial and business reasons. But then on the other hand, it could be a crazy plan. It might never work, because there's all sorts of things that are obstacles that to be crossed and to be to get around, which is support. You know, is it going to work? Can he print? And what about all the Microsoft Office applications? But hopefully in your presentation and your project plan, you've got a plan for all those pain points, because they're the things you can predict, because we've all been there. We know what the pain points are. If you address them in your project plan, then you can just reel them off as you're talking to them. Lack of vendor apps is a good one. Native apps is a good one, because that will probably be one of the first things that someone will say to you. But I'd like Microsoft Word. Well, Microsoft Word is really not on the desktop anymore. It's in a browser. Most users don't even know that. So that will all work on Linux, not just Microsoft. It's not going to be the year of the desktop, but it will be the year of the increased adoption of the Linux desktop. And you know, that's just been true every year. It's slowly growing, incrementally. But we'll see shortly, it's actually changing very rapidly right now, because there is a lot of demand. And this is pressed this, I think last time I updated this, this particular talk was a year ago, and I've had every year, every time I've done the talk, I've had to update the press section, I had to update the number of applications that are growing, being part of the ecosystem, and also the number of customers that are demanding to use Linux. So it's, the latest one, there's probably actually not the latest one, but at the time I did this, it was 2.5 million desktop machines for the French government that they've decided they're going to move away from Microsoft. One of the other things is there was an event that I think it was the FBI, that's on one of those slides there. The Trump government told the FBI to subpoena Microsoft, and Microsoft, I believe, turned over the encryption keys and everything for the European, I think it's the European High Court or something like some very senior set of judges that had all their data provided to them by Microsoft to the US government. And that was one of the things that started kicking this off. So when I did this first talk, I did that. I asked the question. I'm not going to read it out, but you can look at the highlighted sections. It's like, oh yeah, this might happen. It's got some chance of happening. That's 2025. Now, this is AI. It could be learning from my questions. I don't know. You never know. But in March 2026, which is the previous time that I did this talk, it's a lot more positive. It's a perfect storm. Now, just today, I did the next version. Migrating to the Linux desktop has become a viable, pragmatic alternative. So there's a mood, and we all know it. There's a lot of people talking about it. That's good news for the desktop. This is I don't know the name of this chart. Someone could probably tell me what it is. It's the chasm chart, and the chasm. So we're in the early markets stage. We're in the early adopter stage. We've gone from the innovators stage of the market. So we're on the growth trend now, whereas the Linux server is on the mainstream. It's not everyone uses it. It's not a big thing now, but desktop is growing, and at some point, it's going to be over there on the right hand side. Let's go back. So as a result of this, I think we're all responsible for this. This is all our work. And everyone else who's a part of the community. So can everyone give their hand, some applause for actually everything we've done to get to this point, really? I mean, who knew this was going to be the case? Well, I was hoping it's going to be this case for a long time, but we're there now. And the other person we need to give a round of applause to is Donald Trump, because he's the best salesman for Linux there is. So come on. And he's created this whole new world, I'd say, where there's unpredictable, and this doesn't even take into account the war, the unpredictable global trade, the oil crisis, the hardware, cost of hardware, all these things have led to this point where it is, I can't say it loudly enough and often enough, it is a whole new world. Of the way everything is going together now. So just another piece of information, a Google Trend chart. The key phrase was migration to Linux, and that's from to the end of May, and you can see it's is gradually rising, and it's peaked, I think, when the French government announced that migration project. So more and more the market is getting ready, the vendors are getting ready, are pre-loading. Lenovo now pre-load all those machines with two flavors of Linux. Unfortunately, OpenSUSE or SUSE is not one of them. It's Fedora and it's and Ubuntu. But that's growing. They're adding six more models coming soon. And we all know that Lenovo kit works on OpenSUSE. This is something else. I've pinched these two slides from Mark Pearson from Lenovo, with his permission, obviously. But these are the growth trends of Linux on Lenovo workstation and laptop equipment. I couldn't give numbers, real actual numbers, but there is a trend. And as it says here, at the bottom, most Linux sales are actually not booked as Linux sales because they're either bought as an unloaded machine, or just with a Windows license that people overwrite. So that's sort of, so these are all the tool, these are all the signs that things are going quite well for the desktop land. But if you go back to Horace, what does the use case require? And these are the things you need to get into the weeds with the customer, because one size doesn't fit all. You've got different, you've got different options, as we all know. Too many options, really, for the Linux desktop. What distribution you use? Is it KDE? Is it GNOME? One thing is definitely not. That's the goal that you have to do, is a seamless migration from Windows 10 or 11, and have the user log in on the next day or immediately the migration is finished, with the same username and password and all the same security policies. We're in the situation, we can do that now. And zero touch as well. You don't need to have an engineer at the desktop trying to fix the machine just to get someone logged in. And that's the goal. What the goal isn't is you're not going to say, we're going to replace everything that's Microsoft related, we're going to change everything you're using to something that's open source, and it's, it's that way. And also, by the way, because you're so special, we're going to build our own distro for you. And that way is the way, madness. That way lies madness, because you'll have situations where if you build your own distro, the people who are building it with you will eventually leave, and then that distro will become unsupported, and eventually the customer is going to walk away and say, that was a bad mistake we've just made. So in terms of the way you do a migration, of course the size does matter in terms of the number of machines. Less than 100 machines, unfortunately, is going to be largely manual. It'll be a USB stick or other solutions like that, because the infrastructure to get it, the amount of effort it takes to get the infrastructure ready, is kind of defeats a lot of the purpose of doing the migration. So just use a stick, a USB stick. Over 100 machines, it can be completely, extremely highly or completely automated. And the larger the environment, the greater the amount of automation you can do. As I said, we managed Linux desktops for AIB, and one of the things that we had was the larger the environments, the more there's more flexibility, but there are also larger teams and larger groups of people. So you've got at AIB, we had HCL are managing the Windows desktops. We're managing the Linux desktops. RS Telecom are managing the networking. Our servers were managed by Wipro. AD and authentication services were done internally. And we had to get all those teams together, because they affect, it affects all of them, into one room to have every meeting that we had to have with them. And that, just that piece of coordination is a lot harder than you ever expect it to be. So what we're trying to do is alleviate this level of pain. So if you've got 1,000 machines, and these are very, very generous in terms of very low numbers. So if you say it's a €600 cost per machine, so that's 600k for 1,000 machines. Of course, we all know machines are now a lot more expensive than that, but these are the numbers I've got. If you average 6 machines per day, which is very, very generous again, it's still going to take 167 man days. Contractor cost, again, very, very generous, low. The minimum cost of doing that is over €500,000. If we migrate, and that's why Horace is not happy, just saying. I mean, he's just like, someone's got to fix this. So someone says, well, let's use a free OS. No, you can't do that, because he wants accountability, he wants someone to blame, he needs to sue someone if it all goes wrong. Business is, above all, it's about risk. So maybe we could do a Windows to Linux migration project. These numbers are not massaged. These are. It could be as simple as this. It could take 10% of the cost of a physical replacement to a Windows 11 machine. You keep the existing machines on site, on in place, provided they have things like enterprise BIOS and stuff like that, so you can do wake on LAN. You can do, 10, it takes 10 days to do the deployment. That's the minimum cost. Of course, it could be higher, but it is a lot lower cost to just do a live migration overnight. My company's got the technology to do thousands of these kind of systems overnight. We're doing that with Allied Irish Bank. We're managing and migrating to new versions across the entire state in stages. 7,500 machines every 2 weeks. So Horace is happy. He might just make CEO. It might be, this is good, it could work. Who does what in that kind of scenario? You'd have an internal support team. Internal support teams wouldn't change very much. What you might discover is certainly, as my company has discovered, is a lot less work to manage a Linux estate, because there's just a lot less to go wrong. So three of us were managing 7,500 machines. If you tried to do that with Windows, it's just, that'd be hundreds of people just to manage those systems. So there'll be also a reseller inside, or a consultant level, and that. So internal staff might have to retrain. Resellers would have to retrain, and they would be doing the hands-on helping of the internal staff. So it'll be first layer of line of support would be internal staff. Second line may go to reseller, and then at the very bottom, who should be contacted least is the Linux vendor, because typically, if you try and call Microsoft because you've got a problem, then you're never even going to find the phone number. So you talk to your IT people, and you talk to your reseller or your consultant. And that's, I think, is the approach that the Linux vendors need to take in order to stop caring so much about the individual bits that everyone complains about. And it's like, well, that's not us. We manage this. And everyone else, you do that. And if you could do that, you could have a very, very successful migration. Because also you have to get the buy-in of the clients. They need to work. So, for example, the French police I heard very recently they've got, I think, 85,000 desktops or mobile devices. They're all now running Gembuntu, which is their own flavour of Linux. And they changed all the applications to look exactly like the Windows systems they were used to. So when the people got their tablets or whatever it is they use in their patrol cars, or it looked exactly the same. Now, that's if the customer is prepared to do that, that's going to make the migration a lot easier, instead of you going, well, we've got this particular app that's kind of a little bit like that, but you have to get the buy-in of the customer. So determine the user groups. Find out, you know, the minimum, the simplest possible group of users that you can do a trial on. And the proof of concept just has to be, say, for example, groups that use one application only, such a browser app. That's ideal. Do that, run a trial on it, and learn from that first trial. 100%. So the kind of apps will be RDP based or browser based or Java apps. And of course, as this migration of systems to the cloud and to web browsers continues, customers are increasingly unaware that they're running their app in a browser. They have no idea most of the time. So a lot of, once you work out what the applications are, choose a small group, do a trial, and hopefully make it work. I'm going to run through these quite quickly. It's, you know, that's not an enterprise PC. Run away if you see these kind of systems. I have in the past where people said, oh, we could do this, and, you know, on these kind of old machines or these kind of gaming machines. Enterprise firmware is a must. It has all the things you need to do management of the systems. Enterprise machines are built to a standard of quality and reusability and replaceability, whereas a gaming machine or just a cheap do-it-yourself machine is built to a price point, not to a standard. Then you can build your image, not a distro, but choose your options and choose your apps and choose all the things you want in it. Do it, save it to an ISO, and you can do that with a number of choices, and here comes a shameless plug. You could use Rebind Studio, which is something that I've, in my company, has been working on for the last 6 months. It's a replacement for SUSE Studio, which some of us may remember. And you can ask the people, the developer, the staff, the IT staff in your customer, to build the image themselves that fits their use case. And in the meantime, they start building an OS that will fit their use case, and then they can then during the same time you will be doing the politics of getting the first trial in place. And you can build and preview, and it's like based on Kiwi, and you can preview or you could do it with OBS or Kiwi or your own Kiwi implementation, but up to you. Or you could, at some point, you're going to have some predefined list of applications that you will want to load onto your system using what used to be called AutoGast, or whatever the current best way to do that is. So if you're doing 125 desktops, that's simple. Again, you could, if you wanted to have backup, you could actually do a boot onto a hard disk and do a run, have a backup script that just pulls all the code onto all the user data onto that. But once you start getting larger, it's 100 desktops. I've discovered that KVM with over IP devices are really helpful, because you can actually just load one. In the center, there's this thing of the virtual media. So that's That's a tumbleweed. So you could actually just give someone one of these. They could plug it all in. You can access it remotely, do the installation, and then once they've done it, say, give that device to the next person. And you can actually do a full migration of all the machines and all the systems remotely using KVM over IP. But then after 100 desktops, it starts getting more challenging, and ideally you need an infrastructure that's to be created, and it's more work initially, but in the long run, it becomes more flexible and faster. And you can install and join, you can install Linux systems to a Windows domain using SSSD, and if you can preserve the workstation name, it's a lot easier as well. And you wake up and you wake the machines up, you reboot the machines, and you can have the user log in as they were with the same username and password. So summary is pick your battles, because there's going to be lots of people wanted. I think there's so much demand now that people will want to have everything migrated, but start with the simple ones, the simple cases, simple use cases. Reduce your initial scope. If you get past the first few group trials and start to gain ground, the organisation will get behind the initiative, I believe, and will start modifying their purchasing behaviour to reflect the new environment they're in. And then finally, Horace is happy. He's got a low-cost desktop solution, and he didn't have to do a whole round of workstation and laptop replacements just because Microsoft told them to. Increased productivity, I can say that's, I'm more productive. And you're meeting the environmental costs targets. And I think we can all do this. People want us to do it. 12 months ago, people were not, you couldn't go to a group of people and just say, hey, how about doing this? But now it's like people are coming to me, people are coming to my company and to all of us, I'm sure. I know they're coming to SUSE. So we've got the solution. We know what the solution is. It's time to make it happen. And that's it. Thank you. Any questions in the last 2 minutes I've got?
What kind of SLAs are being required, and what kind of SLAs are you able to provide to the customers running the Linux desktops, especially on, say, hardware that they've migrated off of Windows? And I'm guessing perhaps there isn't a clear hardware vendor support option.
The one particular case that I can speak of is the Allied Irish Bank example, where they had written them off, and they had just decided that they had a lot of machines spare, and the way we were able to do the migration and do the management is if a machine, all the data is stored on the network. There's no customer or vital data on the workstation itself. So if a machine failed, they'd just rip it out and replace it with one of the spares. And then they'd make a decision of whether or not it was worthwhile replacing. If they became disposable, they became the cattle, essentially. So in terms of the SLA is not, that'll differ in every single scenario. But that's one of the things you then start need to talk about. You need to talk to the customer about. But the way we were doing it with AIB was they actually told us, don't worry about old machines. We'll deal with them, or we'll throw them away, because I think by the time that project finished, their systems were 10 years old, and they were the systems that were serving as the workstation for the bank teller. When you came to the bank and they were, you were talking to them, and they had two apps on it, And that I would have thought that would be a big SLA question, but they'd already made the decision internally. We don't need to worry about that. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Hey, I feel like ORS comes out of outside of like real life examples. How many of these real life examples do you have? Like many of them, like in years, how many of these migrations does did iLayer accomplish?
We were working with, so in terms of the, we were doing lots of consulting work with companies such as the ones I can talk about, Santander. We're doing we didn't end up doing a migration job with them, but they were quite far along, and then they said they weren't going to do it just because they couldn't get the support from above, you know, the board or wherever it was. Then COVID happened. So I developed all the, my company developed all this deployment software. We took what was Allied Irish Bank were using in the part in the, when we got there, and made it a web app, and built an entire enterprise system around it. And then COVID happened, and it sort of killed the market. We had investment, we were ready to go. And actually, to be honest, when that was all over and COVID ended, and I'd worked so hard, you know, we'd all worked so hard, that I just said, no, we're not going to do it. And we put the code away and thought we're going to do other things. And then I gave this presentation a year ago, just as well, this could be happening. Just here it is, guys, you know, try and do it. And since then, every time I do it, there's more and more interest and there's more and more press about migrations. So in terms of new projects, there are a couple that I'm talking to people about. The one is 10,000 systems all around the world from a German company. There's some interest in some Swiss companies, and I'm going to a massive get together of loads and loads of open source people and resellers and government departments to try and make that French promise come true. So it's in Paris, and I'm going there on Wednesday to actually meet everyone for the first time to see how we can make this push this thing forward. So in terms of personal experience, no, but I'm happy to help and advise anyone that if they want to make this thing work.
Yeah, Patrick, thanks for this presentation. I think this addresses the needs and the views that a C-level manager has quite well, mm-hmm. because what they need in the end of the day is, if there is a problem, they need to get somebody by the neck, and this is what needs to be provided.
Yeah.
My question is another one. I think we talked about that last night briefly already, this revamp of SUSE Studio. Is this available somewhere, or
how does it look? It's early beta right now. I can grant access, but I'm very nervous about it because we're very, very early days. In fact, it's alpha still. But yes, it will be online. The URL is rebind.i-layer.com, I believe.
Can I memorize that anyway?
That's not it. But it's basically rebind, and that's the intention. I'm trying to work out the work because we're providing infrastructure to do that. So we're also trying to work out how to make it equitable and actually for us not to lose too much money on people building machines again and again and again and again and again and occupying this space. That's it.
Thank you.
Next page, tomorrow there might be a sign up page. And I think I'm out of time. Am I out of time? Okay. Any other questions? No? Thank you for everyone. It's been great.